Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Greg, how are you?
Jonathan, well, I know Chad will appreciate this, but about a month ago, I don't think I mentioned this to you guys, in a three-night span, I saw Bob Seger and Fleetwood Mac.
That's impressive. Have you seen the country music doc yet by Ken Burns?
I have not, but I probably should see it at some point. Football season, I don't get to see a lot of these kinds of things, you know?
Yeah, post-football season, you need to check that out. I've only seen one of the episodes. I haven't seen all. There's 16 hours of it. But it is very well done. As a country music fan, you'll like it, Greg.
Well, I can say that I saw Bob Seger. Think about this, and then we'll talk football, obviously. I saw Bob Seger in 1979, 1994, and 2019. So that spans a few decades.
Well, 16 hours on the documentary. Also, the amount of time, Greg, you spent watching Ryan Tannehill and the Titans offense yesterday.
Yes. We are going to the Super Bowl, gentlemen.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Okay. What we're trying to determine, which we won't find out until after this run is complete, but the discussion here is, okay, the offense has been phenomenal since he took over. Is it sustainable? With what you see and evaluate week to week, how consistent are they in the aspects that are so strong versus how you see things level out over the course of time from every offense, team to team?
Well, what they're doing, Jonathan, is not unique by any means. It's been done thousands of times in the history of the NFL, and it used to be the way people felt you had to play football, which was you start with a run game, and for the most part, it's a fairly basic run game, although what teams do now more than they used to do 15, 20, 25 years ago is they run out of multiple personnel packages and multiple formations. But the run game concepts are basic, and then they work the pass game off the run game. And then the quarterback has some movement ability as well, so he's capable of making some plays with his legs. So what they're doing is not unique by any stretch of the imagination. Where the issue, and the second part of that equation is they have a defense that for the most part can keep games together. So the overall plan is we can stay with our offensive approach and philosophy. We don't have to step outside that and do what we don't want to do because we're going to be in every game. That's basically the plan. There's been a lot of teams that have tried that over the years. What the question with that always becomes, what happens if you get down for whatever reason? Maybe it's a turnover, maybe it's a special teams, but whatever the reason, and all of a sudden it's 17-3 in the second quarter. That's always been the question about teams that play that way.
Greg, one of your very first visits with us, you taught us that you don't have to establish the run for play action to be effective.
Wow, well, that's...
Okay.
It's so funny you mentioned that because somebody mentioned that on Twitter a few weeks ago that I've been saying that probably for almost as long as I've been watching tape because the tape tells you that. And now there's data that absolutely backs that up because with all these analytics, that's always been the case.
But with Henry in the backfield and the level of play that they're getting up front and in the run game, how much is Henry's success helping Ryan Tannehill and his play action success?
Well, you have to think of it this way. It's not just run game success. It's how you run the ball. They run the ball a lot out of base personnel, whether it's two tight ends, three tight ends, now a fullback with blasting game. So what that does is it gives you almost always eight-man boxes, single high safety coverages. That's what you pretty much will get from almost every team in the NFL when you run out of multiple tight end sets or with a fullback. So you're getting... More often than not, here's how we talk about it. We say you get predictable fronts and predictable coverages. So you know what routes work against those predictable fronts and predictable coverages, and you also know how you can pass protect. That's why the run game is helps your pass game, not because you're gaining 150 yards. Now, obviously, the run game has been very effective, and Henry obviously would have had more yards this week if he didn't tweak his hamstring. So, what was it, four games in a row now that he's gained over 100 yards?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, the run game's been very successful. Not only is it now a volume run game, but it's a productive run game.
And it's actually four games now, total yards 150 plus for Henry.
Right. Right, and he had that one run this week, which I saw. I think he had a 24-yarder this week, and it was clear that his hammy was bothering him because he did not on that run. Normally, when he gets into the open space like that, you see a little juice, and you see that burst and explosiveness. He did not have that on that 24-yard run.
Greg, the biggest play under pressure for Tannehill was the 91-yarder to A.J. Brown, where he's getting hit on that play.
Yep.
Obviously, that was a good one. I'm curious, though, overall, how would you rate his performance when pressure gets to him and how he's sort of moving around that to make plays?
Well, Chad, I have to tell you, I always thought even in Miami that he was good under pressure. He's a stand in the pocket, to use an expression that Ron Jaworski taught me, which I hope people don't get offended by because it was a football expression going back 30 years, is he would look down the gun barrel and deliver the football. And I think Tannehill's always done that, even going back to Miami. That was one of his strengths. He's a guy that will stand and deliver. And I remember doing pieces with Jaws on the matchup show years ago, and that was always something we did when he was with Miami because he was very effective doing that. So I don't think that's ever been an issue for him. He will stand and deliver the football with people in his face.
You know, we keep talking about precedent and what to expect moving forward because obviously Tannehill, and the numbers back it up, he's been very, very good in this stretch. But we're trying to piece together, and you talked about his play under pressure in Miami, things that we've seen before, things we're not seeing now, things we can expect in the future. This level of accuracy from him, he's second in the league in completion percentage, and it's not just easy throws, but he's accurate down the field. Is this something you saw consistently at all or for any stretch in Miami, or is this something relatively new to this year with this offense?
Well, you know, and that gets into a fascinating point about what kind of quarterback he is versus the scheme that he's being asked to execute, because the scheme fits perfectly. You know, and that's why I think ultimately they're going to need to keep him. I mean, they have a couple of things they have to do going forward now in the future, but we're worried about now. But I think the scheme fits really well. When you get the run game and the pass game working off the run game, you very often get defined reads, defined throws. By NFL standards, you're throwing to relatively open receivers, and he's been very precise with his ball placement. And for the most part, he's been comfortable in the pocket because he does turn the ball loose. He doesn't stand and hold it. So everything is working together really, really effectively. And then he's still making some really good throws when he needs to. I mean, I thought one of his best throws this week, and maybe overlooked because of the nature of the game, was the Firkser 39-yarder late in the second quarter. It was an excellent read and throw, exploiting the weakness of the open middle coverage with the tight end on the linebacker. And I thought that was a really, really good throw.
Am I correct in assuming here that it's been a staircase progression in play action for Tannehill, where Joe Philbin was more short passing game with him, Adam Gase more play action, but not now even more so with what Arthur Smith is asking of him right now?
Well, right now it's clearly a play-action passing game. I think they know what they have. They know what their offense is. It's really good coaching. I mean, this is an offense, like I said, they can create all this. They create all this because of Henry and because of the personnel that they put out there. So, you know, what you want, here's what you want for your quarterback in an ideal world. You want to be able to have him know what the defense is before the ball is snapped. Now, when it's third and long, that's tough to do. When it's first and 10, you can control that much, much more. You don't really have to do a lot of investigation and research of the defense when it's first and 10. You're counting on your personnel and your formation and game planning to take care of that for you. And they're doing a really, really good job of that and executing the pass plays that work off that. So it's been a perfect mix over these last, he's 6-1 now? He started 7 games?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's been, I mean, it's just gotten better and better. Tannehill's clearly more comfortable. They get him on the perimeter as well with boot action. He gives you the ability to run as well as he does throw when he's out on the edge. So you have, for what they want to do and how they're approaching their offense, he's a very, very good fit.
This week coming up could be Dean Pease's biggest test of the season with this Texans group, with the wide receiver group against the Titans secondary. We're potentially, we don't know yet, but potentially no LaShawn Sims or Adoree Jackson again. And if Will Fuller is back in the lineup, paired with Hopkins, and Fuller bringing the speed option with Hopkins' precision, that presents, I would assume, a matchup nightmare against what the Titans have in the secondary currently.
Well, of course, that's if you're going to play man-to-man and match up. I would guess that Dean Pease will not play a ton of snaps of pure man-to-man. He will in certain situations, everybody does, but I think what you'll see a lot of is what he's been doing and has been very good at. And you'll see a couple things, but one thing you'll see a lot of is the disguise and the late movement to get to whether it's cover two, whether it's cover three, which he did more of this week, getting to cover three. And I think that's what he's been really, really good at, are those kinds of things. And, of course, pressure is critical because you're dealing – look, Deshaun Watson, the thing you have to be concerned about with Watson, obviously, are the second reaction plays. He's much more effective on those than he is in the pocket. He's not really a pocket mover as much as he is a pocket lever. He will break down and run out of the pocket. And he's hurt the Titans with that over the last couple of years. I mean – oh, and one other thing you might see Dean Pease do, he did it last year in the game in Tennessee, and I know that's going back to week two, I believe, but coaches coach against coaches, and the staffs are relatively the same, is he doubled Hopkins quite a bit in that matchup in Tennessee last year. You could certainly see him do that on third down. That's what he did in that week two game. And Fuller did play in that game, by the way. So, you know, I think you'll see a number of different things. You want to show Watson different looks. You know, Watson tends to dance and bounce in the pocket. He's not really a plant back foot guy. He has a tendency to be a beat late with some throws because of that. He's a dynamic, sensational player more than a consistent player at this point.
How much has right tackle been an issue for Houston? And just overall, how has Laremy Tunsil been able to fit in on their up front on their offensive line on the left side?
Well, Tunsil's got great ability. The problem he has is concentration. I believe he had three false start penalties in the first half this week.
He leads the league at left tackle in penalties for that position.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, what the breakdown of particular penalties are, but the false starts are inexcusable. That can't happen. But he's got great talent. He's a great mover. I mean, he's really light on his feet. He's got every trait you want. If he can clean up the concentration issues, he'd be a top 2-3 left tackle, hands down. Right tackle, Jonathan, we don't have to guess. They're telling you that they have a problem at right tackle because they're playing two guys. They rotate two guys. Clark, a veteran who's been around the league, and Roderick Johnson from Florida State, who's maybe in his second or third year, maybe. So they're telling you that they have an issue at right tackle. Otherwise, they wouldn't be rotating two players.
Very rare to ask you about the Texans this late in the season and not have a general idea about their roster, because this is the first game the Titans will have played against them this Sunday this year. But how much, since J.J. Watt has been on IR, have they been lacking in the pass rush? How much has his absence affected what they're doing up front?
Well, it certainly affected the pass rush. They've not been able to generate consistent pressure. Their outside pass rushers are Merciless and Scarlett. For the most part, they play Martin as well, and he actually has good snaps. But they've not been able to generate a consistent pass rush, and that's obviously critical. You know, what they're going to be playing a lot in this game is their base defense, their base 3-4 defense, because Tennessee, certainly in normal down and distance situations, will be playing with multiple tight ends or a fullback. So they'll be in base quite a bit in this game. And then, you know, that will dictate – that limits their pass rush, and it normally limits what Romeo Crennel will do. Now, he's been playing a lot more man coverage over the last month or so than he's been zone, although in last week against Denver, after Denver went ahead big and was really hurting them, he started to go back to more zone.
So you had mentioned earlier the concern about Henry and the hamstring and the lack of explosion and burst after he injured that hamstring. How much more concern would you have for this Titans offense overall if this is a lingering issue for him moving forward?
Oh, well, it's definitely a concern because he's obviously hands down their best back, and right now he's the foundation of what they do from a personnel and a profile standpoint. So, you know, I think that these games all matter now, and it's hard to say if he's cleared to play to sit him. You can limit him clearly, but if he's cleared to play, they're not going to make him a healthy scratch because these games matter. You know, they're not in the playoffs yet, and they're fighting for a division title, and these games are important. So, you know, maybe you monitor his number of plays, and maybe he doesn't get 20-plus carries. Maybe he gets 13 or 14 carries. But he's critical to what they're doing at this point. The team, in some ways, you could argue that the team is built on the run game because the run game also controls pace and tempo of a game and makes it better for your defense.
Why did the Texans struggle so much against Drew Lock in the passing game?
Well, a lot of those were a bunch of those were individual plays, you know, and some really just good throws. You know, I thought they did a really good job of defining the reads and throws for a young quarterback, and you know, Lock made some really good throws. You know, they just. I mean, the first play of the game was one of those plays that easily could have been intercepted and returned for a touchdown, and Locke made a really, really good throw, and he's got a very strong arm. I mean, that's one thing people knew coming out, and he's got a really, really strong arm. Now, keep in mind, they've had a lot of injuries in the secondary as well. This is a team that has struggled a bit with injuries throughout the year in the secondary, so they've had a mix-and-match personnel.
Greg Cosell with us. How about this, Greg? Just going back through the game sheet. Every skilled position player for the Titans, every eligible receiver type, caught a pass, except for Cody Hollister. That everybody was involved in that offense last week, down to Blassingame, who had his first career catch.
He had two of them.
Yes.
He caught one on a wheel route through the line of scrimmage, and where he made a leaping catch.
It's 10 different receivers caught passes against the Raiders. And like you're saying, it's not like a little dump off to the fullback. He's throwing back shoulder to the fullback, and he's plays.
And then he caught a little flat pass off boot action where he turned on the jets.
And how about this stat? This is something that Coach Mack is using at the OTP podcast at TitansOnline.com. And he and Rhett Bryan were discussing this in the studio yesterday. Ryan Tannehill has 45 passes completed for 15 yards or more. So he has that number of big-time completions, moving the stick, so to speak, big game-changing, drive-changing plays, on top of his completion percentage. And that Coach Mack was saying that's the number that's so impressive to him, is the 45 completions of 15-plus with the completion percentage overall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to have 552 yards of total offense every week. We know that. They're not going to average over 9 yards per play every week. But they become somewhat of a big play offense. They had 8 plays of 20-plus yards versus the Raiders. 7 of those were pass plays and Henry's 24-yard run. So, you know, they've become somewhat of a big play offense with their ability off play action to either hit shorter passes like slants with room to run or to get the ball down the field. So, you know, it's an offense right now. I said they have a distinct profile. And they're executing it at a very high level.
Real quick, just looking ahead to the Saints, that I've noticed that they have lost some big pieces defensively this week, specifically Davenport on the outside going to injured reserve. He's one of a couple of storylines there defensively. How are they depth wise in their pass rush in New Orleans?
Well, they're lacking a bit now. Davenport's a really good player. So they're lacking a really good edge pass rusher, so you have to go now next man up. They're also lacking two starting linebackers this week in Klein and Alonzo. Now, so they had to go down the depth chart. They ended up playing, you know, they've been playing a lot more dime with 6 defensive backs lately, and I think they'll stay with that. They even played, because of their linebacker situation, they even played more sub-nickel versus base offensive personnel. So we'll see if they keep doing that, because obviously playing the 49ers, who play a ton out of base personnel, we'll see if they do that against the Titans next week, who obviously play a ton out of base personnel.
Yes, and Sheldon Rankin's also banged up with a significant ankle injury, according to reports, so That's something to monitor is them up front.
Hey, Greg, you got to win this one first, Jonathan. You know, come on now.
Hey,
buddy, mean, but, you know, you can't. We can't start looking ahead. You know.
But here's my thought process. If they do win, we now have something to work off of what you just told us on Monday and Tuesday before you join us next Wednesday. That's what I'm thinking.
The thing is they got a really tough game in between these two Texans games. It's not like, hey, let's just play the Texans and we're good to go. I mean, the Saints are pretty good. Now, I know they've clinched their division, but, you know, so who knows what they're going to do with personnel, but they're a really good team.
Well, and we opened the show today by saying we'll ask Greg about it, how sustainable this offensive output has been. But even if it regresses some, what they have pulled off over this seven-game stretch since starting 2-4 and having Tannehill in there is remarkable. I mean, it's quite the story, even if the storyline ends, you know, this week. I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying appreciate what has happened because they have been on quite the run.
And I think one thing we didn't spend a lot of time with, and I know we're wrapping up, but I think you have to give that defense and Pease and the staff a ton of credit because they just won a game with Brock and Smith as their outside corners in their sub packages. And not that the Raiders are necessarily the best group of wide receivers in the league, but still, you know, Brock was just signed. Smith was he was an afterthought before the season started. I don't even know if he was on the roster at the time. I know he'd been there before. I don't know what his status was preseason. So, you know,
he finished last year on IR here.
Right. And I remember him coming out of college. He's long, he's athletic. I thought he had a pro career. But still, you know, they're not their starters. They're down the depth chart at corner, a premium position where you can get burned in this league if you don't have good corners. And while the Raiders came out and scored and had 21, I think, at halftime, they didn't score again. I don't think they converted a third down in the second half, if memory serves me correctly.
They took four snaps inside Titans territory in the second half.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, so, you know, we tend to talk a lot about Tannehill and Henry, deservedly so, because they're sexier. But, you know, what they did defensively this week with Brock and Smith at corner really speaks to this coaching staff.
Greg, thank you as always. Always excellent analysis. We appreciate it and really enjoyed the play action piece you had on NFL Matchup.
We'll be doing more stuff. I'm sure hopefully they win this week. We'll be doing a lot more on the Titans.
Hey, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.